And good morning and welcome to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show. And appreciate Carla Smith being with us. She's the executive director for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. Hello, Carla.
Good morning. How are you, John?
Good. We also want to send a big thank you out to stopalcoholabuse.gov. They are funding this show.
Yes, they are.
And we appreciate the compensation for that. Also joining us is Joe Fine. He's with the Hutchinson Police Department and the school resource officer at Hutchinson High. Joe, welcome into you.
Thank you very much, John.
So, good Carla, this is still an early show, second show we've done, hopefully in a series of a lot of them. But why don't you give us the topic for today? But before that, tell us about Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, what you do, who you are, and what you're trying to accomplish.
All right. Rise Up Reno Prevention Network is a new name. We have been called Communities That Care, Reno County. And we are excited to be changing our name just because it gives a little bit of power about the fact that we're rising up to make a difference and that we're networking to do prevention. And prevention is really what we can do ahead of time before kids ever get messed up or into bad opportunities where they might use drugs and alcohol. So we want to use prevention practices that are in place to keep those kids out of those problems.
Well, for people who are watching the Christmas parade and seeing you out on the street, I'm not sure how you're pulling this off.
Well, we're pretty good. I have to tell you that. We might be recording in the cab of a truck. It's hard to tell where we're at.
We'll let people guess, but if you are at the Christmas parade, look for the truck and trailer and the big banner, and I think there'll be some kids out there.
Yes, there'll be some kids. They're passing out little cards to invite you to our reception. We're having a reception just to launch our new name, and there'll be a short video and just a few words and some really awesome cookies from Holly's Sweet Shop. So Holly's Sweet Treats. Yep. Be sure and come by and get some cookies and some hot cider, and we'll see you right after the parade.
And tell me again where that's at?
It's at Wool Market. It's 420 North Main.
Okay. Well, Joe Fine is again, he's with us, school resource officer at Hutch High. So, Joe, lots of questions for you today, but first of all, talk about your role at the high school, and then Carl and I are going to drill down on some statistics and things that you're trying to help the community improve on and these kids to get better at or not use at all.
Sure. First, I've been with the Hutchinson Police Department going on 9 years. This is my first year at Hutch High. So far, I'm really enjoying it. I love interacting with the kids, being able to be there for them, answer any questions that they may have or situations that come up. I'm basically a liaison between the school and the police department. So anything law-related, anything that comes up, you know, thefts, fights, situations that require law enforcement to step in, it's basically, I treat it as a mini city. It, you know, about 1,400 people when it comes down to students and faculty. And my job is, you know, protect everybody there. Outside threats and inside threats. So I'm there just to, like I said, be that liaison between the police department and them and make sure the safety and of everybody makes it a safe learning environment for everybody.
So people who may look at a resource officer as not a real police officer, well, they're wrong.
Correct.
You have all the authority. You are a member of the police force. You're not somebody to take lightly, although correct. You get along with everybody.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not a security guard. I've gotten that a few times. I'm not Paul Blart, the mall cop. So it's taken a few kids a little bit to realize that I am a real police officer, and usually it's when they're in my office and, you know, they're in trouble and they realize that I'm a real cop.
Well, and if they're in front of you, I mean, I guess they potentially could be facing some pretty serious stuff, but I'm sure you also want to help steer them in the right direction. Maybe they have not broken the law, but you're there to, okay, let's change course and here's why you should do that.
Sure. I definitely wear many hats. Counselor and confidant is kind of one of those. I get a lot of kids that pop into my office on a daily basis just to say hi. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to forge those relationships outside of the law enforcement aspect. Obviously, that's important, but gaining these kids' trust and being able to associate me with law enforcement and have a positive experience with me and carry that over to maybe when they have an interaction with a police officer on the street, knowing that I'm one of them and we're all in this together and good guys.
Again, you're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show. Carla Smith, of course, is the executive director for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. We are visiting with Joe Fine with the Hutchinson Police Department, the school resource officer at Hutch High. And Carla, if you would, you've got some statistics here, and we'll just let you and Joe talk about that. I'll chime in a little bit, And some of these statistics are pretty scary, and hopefully they're improving. But where would you like to start?
Well, I would like to talk a little bit about vaping, because I know that that's really an issue that we're all facing. All of the kids are coming into contact with it more and more. We're seeing that it's a pretty big thing with high schoolers, with college kids, and now it's even showing up in the grade schools. So what can you tell us? Why did this trend pop up so fast?
I think the biggest reason is because it's ease. It's easy to get. They're cheap. You can get one at a gas station. So all you got to do is have someone that's over the age of 18 that can go in and legally buy them. And that's, I think, where the majority of them are coming from. You know, in the high school, you've got, you know, building trades to where they bring in 18, 19, 20-year-old junior college students, and they're intermingling with high school students. So you have that interaction on campus between of-age people. And I think that's where a lot of them may be, you know, filtering in. Others are just, of 16, 17-year-olds that maybe look 18 that can go in and buy one without an ID because they look of age. But and that's how they're getting down, you know, to the elementary school age. As they start at the top and they just trickle their way down. You know, one kid gets it and he sells it, and that kid sells it for more. And by the time it gets down to middle school, elementary school now, it's passed a few hands, and they're sharing them, they're giving them to each other. They're just everywhere.
Right, right. Well, we've heard a lot about the dangers. There's been a lot of illnesses. There's been over 400 people that have died, I believe, from lung-related diseases that they believe have come from vapes or from the liquids, from the juices. I wonder, that's two questions, I guess, but, you know, what do they know that they're dangerous? And would it make a difference if they, if kids that were 18 couldn't get them, would it be easier to keep it out of the school?
I don't know that it would necessarily be easier, because, you know, if it's not an 18-year-old, it's a 20-year-old. You know, they're going to get them. Mm-hmm. The problem is education. A lot of these kids don't realize the dangers of them, or they do and they just don't care. But the problem is the nicotine content in these things is so high. One little pod has enough nicotine to equal a pack of cigarettes. So they may be going through one or two pods a day. So it's a new generation of nicotine addicts.
Right.
It's just not the typical, you know, nicotine they're usually getting. A lot of them don't realize that there's even nicotine in it. They just think it's flavored, you know, vegetable glycerin, and that's not the case. The ones that say that they're nicotine free most of the time aren't nicotine free. They still have trace amounts of nicotine, so they're still addicted. And these kids, they're so addicted to this nicotine because of the high content that they're willing to do it anywhere and everywhere. They're doing it in class, they're doing it in the hallways, they're doing it in the bathrooms. They just can't go a whole class period without using it.
Carla, I know that Officer Fine and you both have talked about how these things are disguised, and it's just how you can hide them, how you can beat the system, not get caught. That's not helpful either.
Right. And these companies that are making these products that are able to disguise them, like the Juul, for instance, you know, it looks to the naked eye or to the layman person that it looks like a flash drive. It actually plugs into your computer to charge. So it makes it even more like, you know, if a parent comes across it, they're not going to think anything of it if they don't know what it is. And there's all kinds of different, you know, disguise. They disguise them as Sharpies and all kinds of different stuff.
Carla, you and I mentioned last week on the show about the 18-year-old that had been vaping. And I don't know all the circumstances, but he had to have a double lung transplant to survive. Now, you can try and scare these school-age kids, but you know, they're going to say just what the rest of us, it's one incident, that's one guy, it's not going to happen to me. I'll bet that kid said the same thing.
Right.
So why don't you two talk about that? I mean, it's a real deal.
That is really interesting because, for one thing, I don't know how long his lung disease had, you know, been in place, and how many other people are on the transplant list, but I'm sure they had to wonder why he got these so fast, and is he going to take care of them this time? I mean, yeah. I've just heard a lot of comments back and forth from people, you know, who were, oh, thank God that we could save him, or, you know, medical tech is available now that could save this kid, but other people saying, you know, he did this to himself. I don't know if kids realize what they're doing to themselves. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, they're just kids and they feel invincible and don't think about those kinds of dangers.
And that is the argument a lot of times, that, you know, it's happened to all these people, but it's not happened locally. I think there's been maybe one in Kansas City or you know, on the Missouri side, that's probably the closest. But unfortunately, it's probably going to take somebody relatively close, happening close by, to get, wake these kids up,
right?
Because it's the it's not going to happen to me mentality.
What is the? I mean, of course, you represent the city of Hutchinson. So you're dealing with crime and some incidences that involve the police department. The high school has their own policies that they can enforce. But when somebody's doing something illegal, if they're using these under the age of 18, is that actual fact? It's illegal.
Correct. Yeah. It's just as if we were to catch them on the street.
Okay. You know, so, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're probably not going to throw a kid in jail for that. But there are consequences to this. What are they?
Sure. No, it's an infraction. So it's not a misdemeanor and a felony. It's just an infraction. They basically just get a ticket, and it's through municipal court if they're over the age of 14. If they're under 14, it goes through district court, and they've got to go a separate route. But the kids I primarily deal with are 14 and up. So they get a citation through municipal court. The total fine after court costs is $104, and they're now required to appear in court in front of Judge Dower. That's a recent thing that Judge Dower decided, and I was on board with, because we were getting so many of those vape tickets or tobacco tickets, and he realized, and I realized, that it was a problem, and he came up with the idea of, okay, well, we're going to do the fine, but we're going to make them appear on this, even though it's not an appeal.
Is it part of the public record, or since they're a juvenile, is that not a public record?
No, it is public record. Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. All your friends and neighbors are going to know,
exactly.
And your parents are going to be real proud of that.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah, Carla, you've got some other statistics on drinking. I don't know exactly where you want to go next, but drinking, marijuana use, lots of these things are just real issues, and frankly have been for decades, and hopefully... Hey, Rise Up Reno Prevention Network.
Right.
That's why you're
it's
here to
time,
stop this.
That's right. It's time that we give kids some other options and give them some ideas on how to stand up for themselves and look out for themselves and be strong enough to avoid these situations. It's hard. Do you think that most kids have influences that are positive or negative, or... I mean, I'm sure it's a mixture for most.
Sure.
But when I look at, like, here's some stats. Like, when I look at some stats about when, how old were you when you first began drinking? 13.22 is the average age in Reno County. According to sixth graders, it was 10.4. So 10 and a half years old is when
sixth graders. Is this the drinking statistic? The drinking
when
statistic.
When they say they start drinking. And that's just crazy. But... It's very possible, and it's very close to the same as what the state is too. So it's all over the state. Kids are starting 13, 14.
So Officer Fine, when you hear these stats, which you're familiar with them, and look, there are kids who come to school drunk, and it doesn't happen very often is my impression, but it does happen. Or maybe they come back from break intoxicated.
Sure.
These are serious things. And how do you handle this? So, we're talking expulsion. We're talking perhaps a DUI. We're talking public intoxication. They're not off the hook because they're high school kids.
Right, right. There's definitely it's a two-headed beast. I mean, there's a school aspect of it. And a lot of kids, I think, don't realize that, yeah, you're in school, but you're not safe from being charged with crimes. So I haven't had too many kids show up drunk. Alcohol at school isn't, I don't think, as big of a problem at school as maybe it used to be.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, the vapes, the tobacco, and the marijuana are the pretty typical things I deal with on a daily basis. Once or twice we'll have an alcohol violation. But yeah, if you're on campus intoxicated, in possession of it, you're going to be cited for that.
So a lot of times we'll hear, well, not me, because I don't have kids and I'm not a kid, but in high school, hey, there's a big party down at the river, mm-hmm. or a party at the Jones Farm. And we're, you know, 17 years old. We're going to go out in the country. Nobody knows we're out there.
Sure.
And then, of course, somebody says something and it gets to the law enforcement and you guys show up,
right.
You guys and gals. So is that very common?
Pretty common, yeah. You know, it's been a few months since I've been on the street, but, you know, I read the bulletin and I see they still are busting parties. A lot of times, you know, we don't go looking for them. Every once in a while, we'll have like a party patrol where guys come in on overtime to, you know, seek out those parties. Most of the time they're called in as noise complaints, because you get a bunch of people drinking alcohol, especially, you know, teenagers. They're going to be loud, playing music, and that's usually how we get called on them. That or somebody didn't get invited and they get upset and call
and
in.
Rat the people out.
Right.
And of course, the cool thing is nobody who's there has ever had more than two beers.
Exactly.
Because that's just the standard
just
answer, isn't it?
Or just a sip.
Yeah, I don't think so. Carla?
We do a program that's called, let me think how to word this. It's IIP. It's an intervention, a short intervention for kids who have had charges or who have gotten in trouble. And it used to be a diversion program, but that's changed a little bit the way it's worded. So these kids have maybe had some trouble with drugs or alcohol or just gotten in trouble for curfew maybe. And they come in and we do like a half day life skills class where we give them the opportunity to just really think through coping skills and making choices and stopping and, you know, looking at the consequences and just basic things to help them not get in trouble the next time. Most of those are kids that have drinking charges. Right. We don't see kids showing up because they had vapes or because they, you know, were using tobacco, but we do see a lot of them coming because of alcohol charges.
Sure.
Will there ever be consequences that are similar or the same for vapes? Sometimes they have THC. Would that be an incident where they would get charges?
Possibly. The vapes, it's difficult because it is an infraction. So there's just a fine attached to it. That would be something I would have to talk to Judge Dower about to see if that maybe could be an avenue for those mm-hmm. in the future. Typically, they show up to court, they pay their fine, they move on, everybody goes home. So it'd be nice to have another layer to that. So that's definitely something I want to look into. As far as the THC goes, once it becomes a drug offense, it goes through district court. And I think they've got their own diversion program through district court, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So that's probably why you don't see many THC cases or drug cases.
Would those have to be statutes that the legislature passes, or can there be ordinance with the city of Hutchinson? Or, I mean, you're not in the court system,
sure.
You're in the enforcement side.
Right. And I don't deal with a lot of that, but I would think it would something that would just have to be local. You know, 'cause the charges themselves, the statutes are statewide, but you know, what we do with it punishment-wise, I think is something that the courts themselves can decide, if I'm not mistaken.
You're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show. Of course, Carla Smith is the executive director for Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. Carla, if you would, you've got some contact information, Facebook page. Of course, the parade is happening right now in downtown Hutch. Look for the big banner.
That's right. We've got a great banner. It looks like a set of wings, and it has, it's two-sided. One side's bright pink, and the other side's navy. And if you want to get your picture taken in front of the wings so that you can look like an awesome angel that's rising up, or a phoenix, or whatever you want to be, come find us. We're going to have the wings set up in front of Wool Market right after the parade. So come up there, grab a cookie, see our presentation, get your picture taken. We'll be there from 12 to 1. Also, you can contact us anytime. Our Facebook just got changed. It's Rise Up Reno. Our webpage is riseupreno.org. And our phone number is 620-615-4018.
Thank you, Carla. And of course, we have Officer Joe Fine with us. He's the school resource officer with Hutch High. Okay, so Carla, if you would, maybe you've got some statistics on marijuana.
I think I gave you the stats.
Okay,
so
I've got them right here. 6.42% of Reno County students have used marijuana in the last 30 days. 12.11% of Reno County 12th grade students have used marijuana in the last 30 days. Officer Fine, I certainly know parents of kids, and I hear these stories about these little baggies of pot that are found in backpacks and in lockers. And of course, I know some student athletes that have buddies that are caught smoking a joint.
Sure.
And the coach catches them. And there are lots of ways this can be dealt with. But once you get involved and the high school gets involved, and of course, Carla's trying to stop these things from happening with Rise Up Reno Prevention Network. This is pretty serious stuff.
Sure.
You don't just turn the other way and, you know, because maybe you've got a star athlete and whatever the sport is, and you're going to look the other way. It's not supposed to work that way.
No, and on my end, it definitely does not work that way. I treat everybody the same. If it was my own kid, you know, I may not specifically handle it, but I would get somebody up there, you know, not involved on the street that would take the case.
So how big is the marijuana problem in our high school here?
I think it's probably bigger than these statistics would say. You know, when you ask kids about drugs, a lot of them aren't going to tell the truth. You know, a lot of them aren't going to tell the truth because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to be labeled. So I would say that these numbers are probably a little low, to be honest. I've been there 3.5-4 months, and, you know, I've had close to probably 8 or 10 cases for marijuana or THC oil. We've had between 50 and 60 vapes that have been caught and charged. So I think they're probably close, but I would say, you know, it's probably closer to 10% on the first one and 15 or 20 on the other one.
Well, it's first of all illegal, and frankly, if Kansas, if the legislature passes medical marijuana use, it still is not going to affect, you know, the high school, because you're going to have to be a certain age. Carla and Officer Fine, if you would maybe talk about parental involvement. Talk about how important it is that what our kids are seeing at home spills over into these children's lives. If they're seeing bad stuff at home, they're behind the eight ball, Carla. It's not a good place to be, but it is something that can be workable.
It is. It is something that's really scary to think, but the kids who are taking this survey are also saying that 44% of them know somebody who's using drugs or an alcoholic in their own immediate family, or somebody that they're close to. So, you know, when 40% of the kids have been around and exposed to that kind of behavior, it gets to be more normal to them. Plus, they hear it in their music and they see it on TV, and they, you know, it's just more normal to a lot of kids than it should be. But parents are a huge factor, because when kids are connected to their parents, they are more likely to make good choices. If they know that their parents notice what they're doing, they're less likely to take beer out of the fridge. If their parents have been honest with them about getting good information and telling them the truth about drugs and alcohol, then they're more likely to come and talk to their parents when they have questions. So parents can make a huge difference, and parents are the biggest influence in a kid's life, because you spend your first 18 years with your parents, and that's who influences a lot of behavior. So it is really important that parents realize that they are super, super important, and that they have a lot of power.
Officer Fine, there's generational poverty, there's generational alcoholism, there's generational drug use, generational prison, you know, entry.
Sure.
These things are hard to overcome in many cases, but they are able to be overcome. What's your advice for a parent or a student listening this morning that knows maybe there's a problem in the family, that don't necessarily want to rat out a dad or a mom or a brother, sure, but they know they're in a situation that's not good?
Sure. You know, you can, the biggest thing is education. You know, if you're worried yourself about, you know, your own drug use or the potential for it because of your family life or what you've grown up on, just educate yourself. Educate yourself on the statistics, on the information that's out there. Come to my office. If you're a high school kid or not, come to my office. I've got, I brought pamphlets with me here on marijuana and cannabis, opioids, vaping, whatever you need, I've got it. You know, and as far as, you know, ratting out a parent or something like that, I get it. And I'm not telling you to do that. But, you know, there comes a point where your safety is more important than the consequences that your parent should or could face.
We've got about a minute left. If you would, meth is still alive and well, unfortunately, out there.
Yes.
You see that in the high school at all much?
Not at all.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Yeah, at least in my experience so far, I've not come across it. It's mainly just weed and vaping.
Doesn't mean it. Interesting, weed. So that's what they're saying at the high school. It's weed.
Right.
Where's your weed?
Yeah.
Well, your weed should not even be anywhere near, and you shouldn't have weed.
Right.
Carla, final thoughts?
All right. Like Officer Fine said, we have tons of resources available at our office, too. We can help set you up with resources that we know are legitimate and good quality stuff that's going to be helpful. Be careful where you're getting resources. If it's not a .gov or an organization that's looking out for your best interest, they may be looking out for a big cannabis. And so you need to know what you're looking for. So be sure and call us 620-615-4012. Check our Facebook, and you can get to all of our social media from riseupreno.org.
Officer Vine?
Speaking of social media, shameless plug here. I've got an SRO Twitter. It's at @SRO_Fine.
So,
and I post all kinds of stuff that I'm doing up there at the high school.
So on Twitter, you follow.
Correct.
Facebook,
right.
You like.
That's
yeah,
right.
Something
that's
like
right.
That.
Okay. Well, all that is available. So Officer Fine, thanks for the work you do. Thanks for your
appreciate
time
it.
Today. We like appreciate that. Carla, thanks to you as well. We'll see you here next week.
Thank you. See you soon.
You bet. Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network show, and we will be back right here next week.